Father, when we think about the fact of your love to us, and we look in the mirror and we recognize what we're really like, the struggles we deal with, the temptations we face, the times that we allow ourselves to go away from what we know is right and true, the struggles we have in our hearts, the doubts, the fears, and to know how holy you are, how perfect you are, how righteous you are, and to think that you have chosen to love us, remembering that we are just dust. From dust we are created, and dust we shall return. Remembering that we are sinners at best, but also remembering that your Son gave his life for us. And that sacrifice makes the difference in our relationship with you. And we're so thankful that we have saving love, the love that we enjoy and experience now that we have come to know Jesus as our Savior. We know that you love the world. You tell us that in your word. You gave your Son to die for the sins of the world. But those who receive Jesus as Savior get the pleasure and joy of experiencing that wonderful, intimate relationship that we can have with you because you love us. And therefore, your love to us moves us to love you. We pray that we will always remember who you are and recognize you for who you are in our own hearts and minds and with our voices. As we look at this psalm this afternoon, would you open it to our understanding? As we see the command that we have, may we continue to follow it and live by it and enjoy doing so. So we commit this time to you, the word to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 98. Now this psalm is an invitation. No, it's a command. It's a command for all of God's creation to worship him. And as I look around, I see even the beauty of the leaves blowing today. And boy, how they have been blowing. But just to see them blowing and know that the God of the universe created them and created the process whereby the wind would come along as it has today and blow them. And we could enjoy that and appreciate it as long as we're not standing out in the midst of it. You know, riding in a car going by, it's not so bad. But it's just... And look at the leaves on the ground and look at the trees that are now bare and realize it hadn't been too many weeks back. You couldn't see through the trees because of all the leaves on the trees and the changes that we are privileged to experience where we live of the seasons. How can we not praise God? I mean, how can we not glorify him for who he is and what he does and what he allows us to experience just by living, just by being alive. So this psalm is a command for God's creation to worship him. Yet those who refuse to believe in and surrender to him and do not obey this commandment to worship God, there are those who do that. Why? I don't know. The psalmist lays out how God is to be worshipped, and who is to worship him. In the conclusion of the psalm, the writer makes known that God will ultimately judge all creation and those in it according to his standard. Thus, it would do us good to be obedient and surrender to and worship God. Psalm 98, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. The first thing we see is the command to sing praise to God, the Savior. the Savior. Notice, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. This word means that he is to be praised with a new or original song. In other words, it's to be your praise that has been created in your own heart by your joy of the Lord, your thanksgiving to the Lord, maybe a spontaneous praise, but it's to be yours. It's something that you do. It's not something you get into a habit or a rote method of praising God. Well, it's time for me to praise God. So see, where did I stop yesterday? And you start with where you stopped yesterday and you continue your uniform praise of Him. No, it's to be original. It's to be original. Maybe it will follow the same pattern of yesterday's praise and worship. But it's still original. It's yours. It's something that's been created in your heart by you because of your relationship with your God. And it never has to meet an acceptable standard. Because if it is your praise and it's to your God from a grateful heart, it is always accepted. It may be that you find a hymn in the songbook, or you may hear a song on the radio that is worshipful and you feel like that would be something you could sing in and join in. And so you follow along as you're listening or reading the music in the songbook and you sing that. It may be something from your memory. It may be some passage of Scripture. It may be some event that took place and you're rehearsing it in your mind to the Lord, praising Him for what was done and how you saw His hand. But it's original. So it is to be an original song. And then He gives us in verse 1, the last part of the verse through verse 3, reasons for this new song or original song. First of all, point 1, He has done marvelous or extraordinary things. The fact that our hearts beat is an extraordinary thing. I don't understand the function of the heart and all that it does and what makes it work. I just know it's a marvelous organ and I'd have a hard time getting along without it. And it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. He has gotten the victory over whomever or whatever in verse 1. And His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. So there's another reason to praise Him, to praise God as we see sin in the world and we see it abounding and we see the lack of respect and understanding of God and care for God and the Word of God. To know that in spite of all that's going on, He already has the victory, as we talked about this morning. Third, He has shown His salvation or His deliverance. It's not talking about salvation from eternal sin. It's the idea God has brought about deliverance. And how many times has God delivered us from something? Maybe a situation that we really didn't want to have to deal with. And we said, Lord, it would just be awesome if I didn't have to deal with that. And He made it happen so you didn't have to. Or maybe it was some other situation. But God has shown His deliverance in verse 2. For He hath displayed His righteousness in the sight of the heathen. Or here it would be Gentiles. Non-Jews. In our situation it would be the unsaved. God still displays His righteousness in the sight of the heathen. You know, there are some radio stations around the Greenville area that don't play Christian music. But at Christmas time, they play Christmas music. Now, I know they play a lot of, you know, Christmas music that we wouldn't say glorifies God. But they inject every once in a while one of the old Christmas carols. And as you listen to that Christmas carol, the gospel goes out over the airwaves of that particular station that otherwise would not present the gospel. But it goes out. And somebody's going to hear that. And somebody's going to be convicted about that as they hear about the Christ child being born in a manger, coming to take away the sin of the world. I mean, it's just amazing. And you just say, you know what? If they only knew. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, God is making known His righteousness to everybody, saved and unsaved alike. In verse 3, the first part of verse 3, We praise Him because He has been merciful to Israel. And He has. And we should pray for the salvation of Israel. We should pray that God would bring peace to Israel. Because when God brings peace to Israel, there'll be peace on earth. It'll have to be. It'll have to be. But God brings protection to His people. And six, He has shown His deliverance to all the earth in the last part of verse 3. So there are six good reasons why we can come up with an original praise to our God that is ours and ours alone. As we consider these different things and how they have fit into our life on a daily basis. In verse 4 to 6, verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Secondly, we are commanded, the command to joyfully worship God, the Sovereign One, the Sovereign One. In verse 4, the singing is to be participated in by everyone and everything. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise and rejoice and sing praise. In verse 5 through the first part of verse 6, this worshipful singing is to be done with musical accompaniment. In verse 6, the last part of the verse, this worshipful singing is to be done with joy to the Lord, the King, the Sovereign One. With trumpets, with sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King, the Sovereign One. So we are commanded to make a joyful noise and worship the Sovereign One. Sit down sometime when you have a little bit of time and think about the sovereignty of God. And His sovereignty is not as it doesn't get in the way with man's free will. He is a sovereign God. He rules, He reigns supreme. And the fact that He's given us the ability to make choices is because in His sovereignty, He decided to do so. It's not because we're bigger and stronger than He is. If I don't want to do what God wants me to do, I can resist Him and not do it. Maybe you can and maybe you can't. I wouldn't want to go there in the first place. But the sovereign God, the ruler of the universe, the one in charge, and the fact that He is righteous, the fact that He rules and reigns rightly, He never makes a wrong decision. He never makes a wrong choice. He never decides something will happen and it turns out bad. By our standard, it may look that way, but not by God's standard. Because He is the Savior and He is the Sovereign One. Then third, verse 7 through verse 9. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. We're commanded to sing praise to God the Savior. We're commanded to sing joyfully or worship the Lord God who is sovereign. And third, command to give worship to God the Judge. The Judge. In verse 7 and 8, we have an invitation given to the participants. In verse 7, the first part, let the sea roar. Or let the sound of the oceans ever be that of worship and praise to God. Think about it the next time you go down to the Atlantic on the South Carolina shore or some other body of water and you are walking along and listening to the roar of the ocean. Just remember that roar, that sound is ringing out in praise to God. The ocean is praising God. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the world and they that dwell therein. The earth, secondly, the earth and those who live on it are to praise and worship God. The earth worships God. The earth praises God. I know we live in a sin-cursed world. And I know that our earth suffers because of the sinfulness of mankind. But nonetheless, the earth still worships God. Because when you look around at the earth, or you drive up to the mountains, or you drive down to the coast, and you look out, and you look at what we have and what God has done, it is just absolutely amazing to see the magnitude of our creation and the magnitude of what God has done and the beauty and the praise that it gives back to God. You look at that and you say, there has to be someone behind that that is worthy of our worship and our praise. And so God is to be worshipped by the earth and those that dwell in it. Verse 8a, let the floods clap their hands, or let the floods, the rivers. It's not the idea of flooding as we would think of it when we think of floods. It's the idea of rivers. Let the rivers join in this worship of God. You're right up in the mountains and some of these little waters that come down. We'll call them rivers for sake of just a, it's not an ocean, so it's a river, shall we? I know it's a small river, but let's use our imagination for a moment. And as the water comes over the rocks and you see the ripples that take place, and it's just amazing to stand there and watch the water come over the rocks and flow down through the mountains. And you look at that and you say, man, isn't that beautiful? That's just amazing. And it's there giving praise to God. It's giving praise to God. Then he says, let the hills, or the mountains, the elevations, let the hills participate in this worship of God. Verse 8, the last part. Let the hills be joyful together. We lived in Nebraska for several years. Most of Nebraska is flat. There are no mountains in Nebraska. But there are some hills. And if you go out to some of these hills on western side of Nebraska, and you look at the history that is there, the ruts in the hills from the wagon wheels of those that were traveling west, you just stand there in amazement. Or you go over to Chimney Rock. Say, well, that's up in... No, there's one in Nebraska. But you don't go there next to it because it's alive with rattlesnakes. But all around it, I mean, you could see it from miles away because Nebraska's flat. And there's this massive boulder out here in the middle of nowhere giving praise to God. And it's just absolutely beautiful to be able to go and see what God has done. To stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon and look down into that and see the beauty of God's creation. The earth, the flat lands, the hills, the oceans, the rivers give praise to God. The invitation is given to them to participate in that praise. And I believe they do. I really believe that God gets the glory from these different areas of the earth that He has created that we enjoy. So the invitation. And then point B, the one who receives this worship is coming as judge of all who are to be worshiping Him. Verse 9. Before the Lord. Come together before the Lord. For He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world. And the people with equity. We see in verse 9. That the Lord will judge the earth. By the standard that He Himself is. He comes to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world. He is the scope of righteousness. When you want to see and understand what righteousness is, you look at God. And it's by Him and His standard and who He is that He will judge the earth. And secondly, He will judge humanity with equity or fairness, according to the promises He has already made. Because God's standard is written in this book. He's given us a guideline, a standard by which to live. It's a righteous standard. And He will judge the people of the world by this righteous standard. We have already been judged. Our sin has been taken care of. Our judgment took place at Calvary. We are no longer under the judgment of God. We are under the blessing of God. So when we read about God judging the world and the people, we don't have to fear. Because Jesus took our judgment at Calvary. Our works will be judged so that we may be rewarded for what we have done. But we have already had that taken care of by Jesus. So we don't have to worry about that. We can rejoice that we don't. But all those that are going to be judged by God's righteous standard, and how shocking it's going to be to the millions when God has the final say-so. We're commanded to worship. We're commanded to give joyful worship to our God. Do it this week. There's so many things that we can look around and be thankful for and rejoice in and thank Him for what He's doing in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love to us. Thank You for the way You take care of us and the way You provide for us, the way You meet our needs. We ask You, Lord, as we go through this week, that we will follow You and obey You, remembering the wonder of it all, that You love us, and that we will worship You willingly, joyfully, because we want to, because we see so many things to praise You for. So help us this week to be faithful, to serve You, to be a testimony and a witness to those that come in contact with us in our life. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.